You've got to pump it up, don't you know, pump it up. You've got to pump it up, don't you know, pump it up.
Hi, Stars fan, this is Alex Ranger, and you're listening to A View from Section C.
A View from Section C is sponsored by Don Michele, Italian restaurant, Perth Road, Dundee.
Hello and Happy New Year to one and all. Senior, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, Junior. Happy New Year, everyone.
So welcome on episode 104 of the Don Michele sponsored A View from Section C. 2025, it's Cameron Duffy quick, Senior.
Fucking is and a half, I'm back at work today. This is January the 2nd and I'm back at work. But come on, it has got its perks, right? Because we've went in, there's enough going on, there's enough to keep with ticking over, right? And then on Monday it'll be just pure manic. But everybody that's off will come in to pure fucking manic. Where we'll have been there Thursday, Friday, so we can exactly what's going on. So, but you've got to go back at some point. We'd have preferred to go back in between. Nah, I'd rather be off right through and then go back on the second, then go back, be off for Christmas Day, Boxing Day, then back to work and then off again.
Yeah.
Got to go back at some point, Junior.
Yeah.
Well, I'm hoping everyone's... this could be the year.
She's not going to let you. Anyway, we're not speaking about Senior's retirement because it's no fucking happening. I hope everyone did enjoy their festive period, Christmas and that. I hope the big man was good to everyone. Senior, did you have a good Christmas?
It was good. I was at your house, so it was all right. Basic, but yeah, it was good enough.
Well, if she listens to this podcast, you'll be getting a punch in the bus.
Waffy.
Shannon.
No, it was good. Christmas was good. Lovely meal. Yeah, your wife done well. You never done fucking much, but your wife done very well.
Acting all Billy Big Boss on this, but you'll no see the big soapy text that he sent. Aye. Thought so. Zip it. Anyway, what? You might notice a little thing in the background here, which was from good old Auntie Avril here. They've got a running thing, Avril and my mother, between about the nutcracker and stuff. And me and Senior got a wee present of our own wee nutcracker in the shape of a Dundee Stars nutcracker. I just think it just so happened to be... Oh, I could pretend I'm speaking on this and it's actually me.
Fuck, I never knew that was you.
Did you not know that?
No.
But yeah, I think it just so happened to be that it was the Stars colours. Like, it wasn't actually made to be a Stars one.
No. And but she trawled through so many fucking websites trying to look for them. And she eventually got them. It was good to be a wee hockey player.
Even got the little C on them. So that is now known as Dryden.
Yep, known as Dryden now.
Dryden died. And to be fair, maybe about the same height as Dryden. anyway, we'll get cracking on with the show. Listen, firstly, I've got a couple of shout-outs, Senior. It's been a while.
Yeah.
I've got a shout-out for two nice girls who let me out in the car park after the game on whatever day it was, Mahogany. Let's go Hogmanay.
Hogmanay, yeah.
We were sitting waiting. You got let out quite quickly. We were sitting waiting.
Yep.
Someone else went nose to tail with somebody else. Then went nose to tail with somebody else. We didn't let anybody out. And then Bethany and Lucy. Now, I didn't think Bethany was going to let us out. And then they noticed who I was. The next minute, Lucy's got on her phone. We love the podcast, so you can go.
Oh, outstanding.
So, a shout out to Bethany and Lucy for letting us out the car park after the Belfast game.
Yeah. Come on, I was really lucky as well because the girl that let me out was coming through the opposite side. And I'm thinking, somebody's let her out, so she's not going to really let anybody else out, because you sort of feel a bit, oh, I better not let anybody out. And she sort of went and then just went, yeah, on you go. Thanks very much.
So thanks, girls, for letting us out.
But listen, Junior, how many times have we said it? If everybody lets one car out, it'll keep going in.
Yeah.
Hey ho.
One in, one out.
One in,
easiest
one out.
Way.
Yeah.
Next shout out is to the future Dundee Stars captain, Louis. Actually, you know what? The biggest shout out has to be to his dad for going all the way down to Sheffield and back in a day and still him for the second period of the Fife game.
Yeah.
That's some doing.
That's some doing. Yeah. He probably just put the blue light on, eh? You know what I mean? Just gave it a Starsky and Hutch up the road.
But a big shout out to Louis and to the rest of Team Scotland. They had two regulation wins down at the tournament down in England, down at Sheffield, 4-3 and 7-2. They had a 5-4 overtime loss and also a 2-0 regulation loss. However, I guess it's according to Louis, I don't care if it's true or not, Team Scotland won the whole competition because we're shit hot.
Yeah. And we'll be marking songs up about this laddie next, I'm telling you. And he's also been warned about going to Fife.
And Daisy's on our side. So big shout out to Louis and Team Scotland. Well done, lads, especially in between Christmas and New Year. Ken, what are like? Your turkey and that, and your Christmas dinner, and
your bottles, and there's bottles of wicked behind the shops.
Bottles of wicked behind the shop. Is there a story there? We'll not get into it.
No, never say that.
Right, okay. Just in case his
dad might know, but his mum certainly doesn't, Ken.
But no, well done to the boys. Obviously, there was three stars, junior players in that team. Louis, Jaden Baxter, and Logan Murphy as well. Who, by the way, had two goals for the Rockets at the weekend on his senior debut. So anyway, that's my shout-out. Senior, you got anything, no?
Yeah.
Oh, he does.
There was a birthday.
Oh, there's a birthday.
What birthday was it?
But it's not on this day, though.
It doesn't matter.
Fine, you can gear it then. Fit,
happy birthday. Fit, Mama Betty. Fit, happy birthday. Hope you got a brand new tractor for you, Stu.
I heard, I heard at the announcement at the weekend that it was also a retirement party as well, because she's at that age now.
Yeah, the Stars DJ announced that. It was Andy that announced it. Stars announcer announced it.
It must be true. Andy doesn't lie.
No, not at all. So
does not lie.
I think Andy says she was 65 as well. Yeah. She doesn't look a day over 64.
looks a million lira. But happy birthday, Mama Betty. Actually, you've just reminded us of a call out of a certain someone who always gives us a nice wee wave in the car park, has a bit of a laugh in that wee way, and then fucks off to hospitality at the Belfast game. Never even said a word about it.
No.
Cough, Ethel.
Yeah. Kept that quiet this year. Yeah.
Did not half.
Yeah. Slums it every other week, but when there's a wee, free hospitality. Yeah. She's there.
Yeah. Again.
And you know what? I heard the story that her man didn't want to go and she dragged him there. He was wanting to slum it with us.
Fucking hellish. Yeah. Listen, we're not angry. Just disappointed in you.
Just disappointed.
So, yeah. Anyway, MBE Valeting Services sponsored two-way watch. So, We only had one game during that festive period. It was the Aberdeen Lynx, who were away to the Edinburgh Capitals. The Lynx lost by 6-5. Gary Kelly, 1+1 in the game. And Dominic Jagler, obviously, he played the game, 34 shots, 28 saves. So 6 goals against in that game, which is a good result for the Dundee team. Lynx dropping points, although it was Caps picking up points, it was them two kind of beating each other again. So 6-5 loss for Aberdeen. The Rockets were playing North Ayr, won by 14-1. So this is where the SNL standings currently are. You can never really see Kilmarnock down there because of the wee bar every week. So deal with that. Rockets top on a 6-game winning streak now. So played 13, won 11, lost 1, and a 1 overtime loss as well. So 23 points, 13 games. Edinburgh up to second, jumping above Aberdeen there, 22 points after 14. Lynx in third, 21 through 14 games. And the Kestrels are 15 points through 13 games. So Jeff was on the show and he said that they're going for the treble, senior, and they're looking strong right now.
They are. It's going to be tight. You know, that top four are beginning to break away in the league. And you know what? Some of the games will be good. I noticed that the Edinburgh played at the weekend, 2,400 at the game, which is ridiculous for an SNL game. Granted, it's the only team that's there again. It's just a pity that the people that are now going back to watch the Edinburgh Caps didn't actually go and watch them when they were in the Elite League. If they're getting 2,400 at a game, you know. And it's maybe doing a value for money more than anything else. It's going to be tight. One thing I did not see on your graphic, though, was the Edinburgh power play is only sitting at 18%. Now, there it is there, 18.5%, which is the worst out the top four by quite a bit.
Worst out the top five.
Yeah.
Paisley have got a better in them.
Yep. So it just goes to show, that if they were to get that power play up and running, and you know what, the power play, they maybe don't get a lot of 2-minute power plays because, as you know, somebody could be off for 30 seconds.
Yeah.
And it's suddenly a power play and you've not even fucking set up for anything and then your power play is over. But it's good to see the Rockets where they are. It's interesting, and it's good that, you know, we see the guys. Dominic, probably wasn't his best game. If he's, you know, 6-34, he is better than that. Good to see Gary, if he is still on the two-way, that he's beginning to get a wee bit, wee points production going again. And also, Josh has been sort of, he's for five, but now he's now been on the Stars bench the last couple of games, which is also good to see. Didn't get any ice time, but he must be doing something right in training. He's a D-man. They're announcing him as a forward, and if he's required, he's there, and we've seen what he could do. So he must be doing something right, because Mark wouldn't have just sit him on the bench just for the sake of it.
With Noel Berger currently, it's an extra player on the bench. You know, somebody gets a major penalty, for example, he's got somebody that could just jump in and maybe fill in a couple of shifts here and there. Speaking of major penalties, though, from what I've seen, Jordan Layden, now there's a name for you, obviously former Stars player as well. Former good footballer as well. So Jordan is obviously player coach of Aberdeen. He had 25 penalty minutes against Edinburgh, so I'm assuming he got 5+ game.
For someone.
Which is very surprising, because Jordan's not exactly a dirty player and not necessarily a physical player. You know, he'll throw the body now and again, but he's not a... Yeah, he's a smart player. So I don't know what that was. I've not seen anything, any of what the penalty was called or that, but 25 penalty minutes. I was very surprised at that.
Mm. Wow. Interesting.
Naughty, naughty. So, let's look at the big stuff now. The 51 Club sponsored game reviews. So, we will start off with the two games against the Fife Flyers. So, we were away from home on Boxing Day. Fife went 1-0 up after a minute 32 through Tyler Height. Brendan Harms equalised on the power play, assisted by Dow and Sekos at 4:44. It was 1-1 end of the first period. Massimo Carosa at 22:05 made it 2-1-5. Sekos, assisted by Nath and McDonald at 25:34, was the only goals in the second. 2-2 going into the third. And then the game-winning goal by Philippe Sanche, assisted by Gravel and Sekos, 53:35, giving Stars 2 points on Boxing Day.
It wasn't the result I expected. We got the points. That's it. Nah, we got the points. That's the main thing. From all accounts, it was a scrappy game, but we got there in the end, and it's all that matters. The only disappointing thing out of that for me is Flyers scoring right at the start of the first and Flyers scoring right at the start of the second. That's the disappointing thing. And it's something that it has to stop because it could be costing us games. I've said it for years now. I don't care what happens at starts of games or starts of periods or whatever. We switch off for minutes and the opposition score. But the really nice thing I thought was that third goal was fantastic.
Yeah.
Between, I think it was, what was it? Sekos breaks. He then plays it across to Gravel. He does the wee drop pass. Again, Owen's floundering at this point, and Sanche just, it's an open net. Really, really good goal. Yeah. And it was 2 points. So all you asked for, going into Fife, 2 points. Job done.
Yep. Yeah. No, definitely. I watched the game on the webcast, and it was, to be honest, we didn't really look like we were out of kind of third gear, and it didn't even look like we needed to get out of third gear. We got through the game pretty much. It was two poor teams. I thought Stars were quite poor that night, but again, like they weren't shit. It was just kind of going through the motions against a team that's pretty shit just now. It was good and to see that Owen was just floundering on the ice rather than floundering off of the ice.
That's a worry when you go into places like a Fife, because the expectation is you're going to go in there and pump them, right? Mm-hmm. And very rarely does that happen. Like, the big teams could do it, right? And okay, Glasgow went in and done it. But there's always that chance that you could be the team that if you don't do what the right things right, you can get bit. They've got decent players there, right? Well, again, they've got a good netminder that's struggling. We know how good he could be. They've got good forwards that know how to put the puck in the net. Wee Chiodo's a very good player. You would take him in your team. And there's probably another couple. The guy, I thought, was it the guy Craig that got involved with Jarrett in the home game? Yeah. He's a decent player, you know? And it'll take Curran a wee while to get them gelled together. And then once they do get going, they might sort of begin to pick up points. I'm just glad it wasn't against us that weekend.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So 2 points on the Thursday. I remember that. Christmas Day was Wednesday. 2 points on the Thursday. We then came home to play them on the 28th. So Stars went 1-0 up through Spencer Nass. I think that was his first goal. Since returning, assisted by Harms and Kiley at 4:17. Kieran Craig at 7:32 made it 1-1 all. Patrick Kite then at 10:02 on the power play gave Fife a 2-1 lead end of the first period. Philippe Sanche tied the game at 26:48, assisted by Gravel and O'Connor. Cameron Kylie put the Stars ahead at 35:50, assisted by Pouncey and Alberga. Then start the third period, and it was one-way traffic from there. Brendan Harms at 43:49 in the power play, assisted by Elmer and Dow. A second power play goal by Dryden Dow this time. 45:15, Elmer and Sekos with the assists. Craig Garrigan, assisted by Alex Robert and Dryden Dow at 49:01. And then Nass with his second of the game, assisted by O'Connor and Harms at 54:29. Giving Stars, certainly after the third period, a deserved 7-2 victory. Senior, I'm looking at my notes from last week for the correct the guess the score. And I'd put 7-2 and changed it to 7-3.
There you go. Never changed it.
No, I know. I thought Fife might get another one in there, but
yeah.
Oh, I'm a wee bit disappointed now that I changed it.
But you're right. Two periods of quite a poor game. And again, Fife score. A couple of minutes later, they score again. They're 2-1 up. And I think it was timely goals in the second period that got certainly Kylie's four or five minutes to go in the period. That sort of, I think that's settled with nerves. And then after that, it was, as you say, it was one-way traffic. There was nothing going to stop them after that. They just steamrolled right over the top of them. And that was all lines. And I think it was Mark who said that once they started going, it allowed him to start running all four lines. And I think Josh was, I can't remember, I think Josh might have been on the bench, but I think he might be the only one.
Josh wasn't that. No, was it the Giants game? Played.
Right. Yeah. But it allowed him to run basically everybody that he had available on the bench. And it was good to see Garrigan getting his goal, and it was good to see that Robert, whatever you want to call him, got his assist, because I think these two are really playing well at this point in time. Robert's got a bit of speed about him, and that's what I like, and he could forecheck. And we know what Garrigan brings anyway. And it's also good to see, you know, that they're not frightened to get in amongst it, and they're not frightened, like, to stick up for one another. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I think overall, I think the class of Nass and Harms and they kind of guys just overtook Fife. Elmer, they just couldn't cope. Could not cope.
Yeah.
And as you say, thoroughly deserved.
Yeah. I'm going to touch on Alex Robert in the Belfast game. One thing that really frustrated me about the Fife game was the lack of ice time for Keanu Yamamoto. I think we'd looked at on the website, I think it was the end of the second period, and he only had like 3.5-4 minutes.
Yeah.
Through 40 minutes of play, 3.5 minutes. It was poor. I get that the reason being that we've now got our first line of Nass, Harms and Kylie. Then we've got Sekos, Elmer. This is where I get confused now.
Sekos, Gravel and Elmer.
Is it?
I thought it was, is it?
No, because Johnny's been playing with Elmer again.
Right, so that's what it is then. Is it no Sekos, Elmer and McBean? And the third line is Sonch, Alberga.
Gravel and Alberga, yeah.
Gravel, yeah.
Yeah. Listen, we're never one for calling people out.
Then it pushes Yamamoto down, eh?
Yeah. We're never a podcast for calling players out. But recently, you know, form of certain players have kind of dipped. I think the wrong boys have been moved down lines. Absolutely. Yeah, a lot of people didn't like Yamamoto at the start of the season. They then eventually got him on that line. We had that injury hit bit of the season. We had him with Gravel and Sonch together. Next minute, three of them lighting it up. Then as soon as we got a fully fit roster again, bang, fourth line.
Yeah. You know, and I think, and we'll probably touch on it, I think it was the Belfast game, when he, because of Alberga's injury, that he went back up again and you began to see what he brings.
Yeah.
Me personally, I'd switch them.
Absolutely.
I think the Alberga's style of play suits the team better with Craig and Alex.
Yeah.
You know?
More gritty. Because,
yes, these two guys will forecheck. And basically, you could end up playing like, we'll go old basketball here, eh? You could actually play 2-1-2.
Yeah.
You know, you could have your two forwards, you've got your two wingers forechecking, you've got Alberga sitting in the middle of the ice, and then you've got your two D-men. You know? Me personally, I would prefer Yamamoto playing on the third line, which would be with probably what would it be, say Elmer McBean, Sekos. So he would be back.
Gravel and Sonch. Yeah.
Sonch, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's but
yeah.
Get what? Listen. We spoke about the D-pairs, right? And what we would like, right, just as online coaches, right? And
we got it.
Yeah,
and it's been shit hot.
And I think
it's worked. It's been shit hot, but it's worked.
Yeah, it's worked, and I think the six of them have got better. I think Chris played well, playing with Dryden. And you know what? People will probably not realise, Dryden will go up against the top lines every week, which means Chris Ingalls is now up against the top lines. And he didn't look out of place. I think it brings more balance to the D pairs.
I think there's a certain D pair, and I think these two will know themselves that there's a few turnovers that are still leading to goals. You know, I think we all know the big man Poo, he knows it as well. Because when he comes off that ice, he's right off and he's right against himself. You know, he's to be fair, he is cursing in French, right? Let's be honest, you can hear him. He's fucking raging at himself. And it seems to be creeping in still. You know, it happened in Belfast. I think it happened with Fife as well. It's a turnover, it's a goal. It's just, we do the hard things right, and we don't do the basics.
Yeah. Like, but I think was it the five game he went to take the shot and he fucking airballed it. He went right over the top and bang, they were away.
Yeah.
I can't mind what game, but something like that. You know what? I think the pairings have settled down. The goalies played really well in behind them. So if there's Denahan, leave Yamamoto third line. Yeah, we love that.
Did you see the goalie or the goalies?
I say the goalie. I never pluralized it.
That's why I was laughing at it. But yeah, interesting though.
Listen, Junior, that's not me hearing a dig at Sabo, right? That's me just based it on, in the last so many games, that Fisk's got the most starts. That's ours.
Yeah. No, I know. It's interesting to see, though, that the Flyers fans were all blaming the officials, or certainly blaming Toby for the loss, saying it was the Toby Craig show. I've watched back that the boy LeBlanc on Elmer with the stick. He knows exactly what he's doing. And I think that's what Toby Craig is, and was it Ferguson he was with, have probably looked at him. He knows what he's doing with that stick. Why is it that low in that region?
Yeah. See, for me, he got called, 5+ 5+ game for slashing.
Yeah.
Me personally, I don't think it's a slash. I think it's a spear.
It's a poke. It's a wee poke.
Which is a spear, right? Yeah. And it's got him in the fucking Toby Craig, didn't it? Right in.
Yeah.
And that would be painful, I'll tell you.
Listen, I don't think there's no attempt to injure Elmer. I don't think LeBlanc's that type of player. There's no attempt to injure him, but he knows what he's doing. He's stopping him from getting towards the goal. He's thought, I'm going to give you a wee dig here. Like, and there's no malice in it. It's just a wee, fuck yeah. I'm going to give you a wee poke here. And it's obviously caught Elmer quite right in the boss, right in the Davina McCalls.
Yeah.
I agreed with it at the time. I actually turned around, I think it was to you. I actually turned around and said, I think he's properly like slashed him in the boss. It looked like he did that rather than that.
I actually thought of anything. It looked like he certainly poked at him anyway. To me, it was more of a spearing action than a slashing action.
Yeah.
But there are moaning about, but Elmer came back on again for the power play. But what they've got to remember is the review went on for a good 3-4 minutes.
Couple of minutes, yeah.
Yep. He's went off. He's got his ice done there. And then he's thought, right, okay, I'm ready to go again. So,
yeah. Well, the best bit is we didn't score on that power play, did we?
No.
Because then we got a penalty for like the last week. It's 4-on-4. And that's when Kylie, I think, scored on the 4-on-4.
That's when we scored.
Then in the third period, they say it was the Toby Craig show again then, when there's a little coming together, I think, behind the goal. Fife boys are screaming at Toby as they're skating towards the bench down the ice. Fuck you. One of you is getting it. And it was the boy Foss. And then he kept going. Okay, here's a 10 as well. Shut your boss. It was Hutch. It was Hutch on the show. You're never going to change his mind on the call, and he's obviously this is what Jeff was saying. He'd said it to, who was it? It was somebody at Fife, wasn't it? It was Shaber. It was Chase, and he said that. He goes, listen, he's wanting to hold the grudge on you, so fucking let it go. And maybe have the wee argument with him, but then skate to the bench. If he's not calling it, skate to the bench. You know, then he gives you your 2 minutes. Let it go.
I would think that when they guys are skating off, Toby's telling them to shut up.
Yeah.
And at that point, when he's basically told them to shut up, then you've probably thought, right, at least I've got my point over now because he's told us to shut up.
Yeah.
But the guy Foss must have just kept going and then kept going again. And he's went, nah, not having it. But listen, is that a game changer? No.
No.
None whatsoever.
We scored on that power play on the 2-minute misconduct one. We did score on it, but yeah.
No game changer.
Stupidity. So a 4-point weekend against the Fife Flyers. It then had us going into Belfast on the 30th of December. Giants went 1-0 up through Scott Conway in the power play at 14:39. Grant Mismash at 22:08 made it 2-0. In the words of the Belfast Giants commentators, Zach Desikis made it 2-1 at 27:28. Bobo Carpenter at 34:06 shorthanded made it 3-1. Jake Elmer pulled one back on the power play assisted by Kylie at 49:16, making it 3-2 end. No, that was in the third period. JJ Pagach at 57:34 made it 4 to Belfast. And then Pio Moran at 59:56 with the empty netter. 5-2 Giants. Again, I watched the webcast whilst sitting playing Mario Party on the Nintendo Switch. I thought we played all right. I thought we were unlucky at times. turning the puck over, some defensive mistakes again, which is leading to Belfast's goal. There was the short-handed one where Dryden got tied up with the guy, and then the guy somehow managed to get loose, and Sabol's already flapping about like a fish, and it was in the back of the net. The one for Cole McDonald as well just went past him.
Yeah.
I don't know what happens. I was sitting watching it, and I watched the replay, and I thought to myself, I wonder if he thinks he's got more time than what he did. Because the guy was just like, going it then. Oh, fuck, he's there. Gone. Go. Shit. What happened?
That's a frustration with the Stars at the moment, is things like that are creeping in quite a lot now. Again, 2 minutes into the second period, Belfast score. All right, we go in the power play. We get the goal back. We go to 2-1. Right. And then we go in the power play, and then the score shorthanded. And that, to me, that probably killed the game. But we'll come back again.
Yeah.
And then it's, I don't know. I just, we seem to be finding ways to lose games when we're in games. And that'll be even more so when we start speaking about the home game. I was surprised that both goalies travelled, but that might have been because they couldn't get a Brit goalie to travel down. So obviously both imports had to go. But Alberga was injured, so obviously they took Josh with them, just in case we needed that extra body. But like you, there was a lot of positives out of the game, but it's the small negatives that are costing us games. We're in games and we're all of a sudden, at times, we're out of games and the game is done, which is so frustrating being a Stars fan at this point in time. But you're right. Mistakes are costing us. I seen the short-handed goal. And then I think I seen Pickenich's goal. And I think that might have been the one that had the mistake on it. And you're sitting thinking, wow, yeah. What's happening? You know, and like as you say, within a select players, Cole McDonald's not the fastest of players, right? He's offensively, he's good. He knows what positions to take up, but when he's got to go back the way, that's when we struggle. And he's not the only one. Let's be honest, right? We say the same about Ben as well, right? Going back the way, they're not the fastest. So should we pinch up as high as what we do? Should we sit back a wee bit further? I don't know. But mistakes are costing us games, unfortunately. We could always say it's a free hit when you go into Belfast. It shouldn't be like that because we're a good team. We've got good players. And bringing Spencer back is showing that the coach and the owners want us to be challenging. Or they wouldn't be bringing guys like Spencer Nass back to the club.
Yeah. So it was a loss in Belfast. We then came home to play them on Hogmanay. We were home. Fans were home. But fucking Belfast weren't here on time. Shock fucking horror.
Yeah, fucking started about that.
So, Hogmanay game. 2 o'clock face-off, which then became 2:40. Jake Elmer put Stars 1-0 up, assisted by Jonathan McBean at 8:29. Jake made it 2 on his birthday at 33:23, assisted by Pouncey and O'Connor. JJ Pagenich on the power play at 36:30, made it 2-1 end of the second period. Spencer Nass, assisted by Harms at 44:29, made it 3-1 Stars. Then came the two goals in just over a minute. Scott Conway at 54:08, and then Jordan Kawaguchi at 55:19, tying the game. And then 24 seconds into overtime, Ben Lake made it 4-3, and Giants take the extra point. I think first off, we need to speak about one man. and it was Big Cheese. Jarrett Fisk, 62 shots against. So 58 saves, 4 goals against, and a save percentage of 93.55. Something else.
That, yeah, that gives you a chance to win games.
Yeah.
And I was fucking devastated for him. Absolutely devastated, because he was standing on his head. To be outshot 26-6 in the first period alone,
yeah,
you're thinking, this is this might just happen. Then we go 2-0 up. Okay, it goes to 2-1 quite quickly, and we're heavily outshot again. And you go 3-1 up, and you're thinking, nobody wants to say it, but you're thinking, this big fella is going to get us a win here. And within a couple minutes, 3-1 up, we something like 6-7 minutes to go.
Mm-hmm.
And then they get the 2 goals. The third, you see, you could see it coming. Yeah. And you see the deflection.
He'll want it back still, I think. I've seen it again, and I still think Fisk will think DCL, he should have got it, even with the deflection.
I'm not 100% sure. But listen, it's one of those things there. And then it goes to overtime, and I didn't even think we touched the puck. It was just one of these things.
No, I think we did. I think we got it up to their blue line, and then they came back down with it and scored.
Yeah. What I will say though, right, is I think a lot of that is due to the travel. Eh? I really do. Now, Mark's always said that he will not blame the travel, right? But I'll tell you, if he doesn't want to blame the travel, I'll blame the travel. Because to play in there, in Belfast, the night before, at a 7 o'clock face-off, to then be expected to play, travel back, and be at the rink ready for 12 o'clock probably, for a 2 o'clock face-off, for these fuckers to mugwit off and just turn up when they want. Right? It's embarrassing. Right? What we should have said was, no, it's a 2 o'clock face-off. You're not here. Fuck it. We're dropping the puck.
Out of all of the flights to Edinburgh that day, theirs was the only one that was delayed.
Yeah.
But get an earlier fucking flight.
That, you know what? You took the words out of my mouth, right? Because it happened against Fife, right? Why are they leaving their flight select? They're no, it's like they're like, no, that's the flight we're looking at. That's the one we're going on.
Yeah.
If it's delayed, we're going to be late. Deal with it. That's what it's like. Fife went into Belfast. What did Fife do? Weather warnings. We'll go early. What did Belfast do? They wait till later on and it's like, oh, they're all cancelled. Oh, yep. We can't get him now. And then they did the same with us. No, we're on that flight. That flight's the one that gets delayed. Get an earlier fucking flight.
They have had 2 games postponed this year due to travel being cancelled and one delayed. So 3 games affected by weather because of them. It's their, you know, okay, it's because of the storms, but not the Manchester one, the actual storms. But it's their decision-making that's making them late. 4 games. And if it is one that genuinely is all flights are cancelled and all ferries are cancelled, then absolutely. Yeah. But that one flight out of all the other flights before and after it was delayed.
Listen, it's their responsibility to get there, right? Surely they must know that they're getting weather warnings. So it should be their responsibility. They need to get there earlier. As Ryan Thompson says to us, they were on the ice on the Saturday night, the juniors, and the guy says, I need to clear that. I've got to clean the ice before I go because Belfast have got a morning skate. But obviously, they never had a morning skate because the flight would still not have got them there in time for a morning skate.
Yep.
So, yeah, they're just fucking mugging teams off. Eh?
I'll tell you, fucking Adam took a wee bit of exception to me shouting at that Tom at the end of the game on whatever fucking date it was now on Hogmanay. I said, by the way, get an earlier flight next time. And he fucking went for it. And I'm like, well, is that a touchy subject, Adam? Because these are just taking the piss with everyone.
Yeah.
Absolute shite bags.
But, yeah, I was fucking gutted that we ended up losing that game.
Yeah.
You know, you would always, let's be honest, right? They're a top, top team, right? You would take a point for your Belfast every time you played them. Right? And we got that point. But, again, it was one of those, we've snatched defeat from the jaws of victory. And it was fucking heartbreaking for them. Because they gave absolutely everything. And you know what? I feel sorry for our players because our players are ready for a 2 o'clock face-off.
Yeah.
And then their whole routine changes. And then they just saunter in as if they've not got a care in the world. And on top of that, now you've got us going, Junior, right? They are a bunch of fucking dicks. I used to like watching Belfast, right? Because they were a good team. And see, like, somebody like Barriga going there, you thought, what a move he's got. Because their style of play suits him, you know? And see now, I'm like, I wish he never went there because they're a bunch of dicks. The Bast, Mismatch, whatever his fucking name is.
Conway.
There are a few arseholes in that team, eh?
Moran.
It's
even that. It's the dicks. They're greeting-faced wee shites.
Oh, eh.
They just fucking moan.
If it's not going their way, the whole world's against them. At 3-1, everybody was conspiring against them. At 3-2, there was only 50% of people conspiring against them. 3-3, 4-3, it was like, it worked.
Yeah.
Because on top of that, I thought the officials were poor again.
So I was going to come on to Team Stripe.
Whistles were put away for the majority of the game. Listen, I didn't mind referees putting their whistle away, right? But if you're putting it away, keep it away at all times. Don't all of a sudden think, shit, I need to call something. No, you've not called it before. Don't call it. Just let it run. Either that or you're calling it all the time.
Yeah. The problem we got was that the calls came at big points of the game. So the penalty on Puglia, hadn't called it the whole, what was that, the second period. Hadn't called it for a period and a half. Then they call it. They then missed the same interference call the entire game. There's then a massive interference, which leads to, I think it was their second goal. Big call at 3-1. They absolutely, one, they shit themselves, and two, they absolutely refereed the scoreboard.
Yeah. The one with Puglia, right? Because it happened, did it not happen? Was it the first period when Ben O'Connor got a bang in the post?
Yeah. And right in front of Rodgers.
Yeah. They allowed it to go, right? Which is fine. They allowed it to go. They allowed the players to sort it themselves. If that's not Puglia in that position, in that period, that penalty is not getting called. It's called because it was Puglia that done it. Guaranteed.
They allowed it
to happen, as I say, with Ben and so I can't remember who it was, but they allowed it to go with Ben and somebody in the first period, and they two were really going
to.
You know, Puglia just fucking basically had the guy against the board, put his hand up and fucking got him out of the way. Penalty. You're thinking, where the fuck is this game from?
Yeah, I joked with one of the officials the week before about where Graham Rodger had been because I'm sick fed up seeing Daniel Ferguson every week because he is absolutely terrible, which he is. But I actually think he would have been more consistent with calls in that game than what Graham was on Hogmanay. Brown never called anything the Hill game up until it got close to being a bit dodgy. Belfast need to get back in the game here. Maybe make a couple of calls. So I'm just settle Adam doing a bit because Adam's getting on my case a wee bit now.
Yeah.
And he did. The two of them shat the bed. The two of them shit the bed.
Yeah.
But you know what, on a positive note, right?
When you look at the two home games, Flyers and Giants, the number of people that came out to watch the games was 2,400 and 2,200, something like that.
Yeah.
Fantastic support that they're getting. And yeah, you know what? We got beat for Belfast, but if they put that effort in every game, they'll win more games than they'll lose.
Yeah. There was one shift for Yamamoto in that Belfast game. And I was like, this is why we need him higher up and give him the ice time. He was skating about and he won the puck back, passed it around, we lost the puck, and he got hit off the puck and he was fucking livid about it. Next minute, he goes in, hits a boy, gets the puck, pass it over, we get a chance, somebody else gets it. Yeah, you can hear a cross-check as well. He was an angry wee man at that point. But I was fucking like, yeah, fucking go, Yama.
Yeah.
But that's why you need him on a higher line than what he's currently playing. And it's no disrespect to Alex Robert and Craig being on the fourth line, in quotations. But you know, you need him high on a higher line to get the best out of Yamamoto. You need him on a higher line.
Definitely. So,
yeah.
For me, that game was about Big Jarrett. It was some of the... Like, we were speaking about the number of saves he had. I think Leclerc had 63 in Belfast 1 year. And I think we won. I think we won 3-2. He had 63. I thought Jarrett was going to beat that.
Yeah.
I thought... Like nearer the end, I thought they were just going to keep peppering them. But I would say that's his best game since he's played for us. I think that would have gave him a massive confidence boost. Even though they lost, what a massive confidence boost that would be for him. He'd have been gutted at the end of the game. But probably when he looks at the overall game and what he gave to the game, he'd be thinking to himself, I've proved a point here, eh? And I think he has proved a point, eh? I think the big cheese is our number one netminder, eh?
Yeah. So, Fife game, senior, trying to cast your mind back, man of the match.
Fuck, I can't mind. What scored all the goals?
There you go. It's on the screen for
there
you.
There we go. Right,
Nas with two, Sonj, Harms, Kylie, Dow, and Garrigan.
Get what? I'm going to go and just annoy people, right? Because was that not the game that we asked for the D men to be changed?
Yeah.
Right, I'm going to go Ben O'Connor.
Ben O'Connor's got his first one of the season. I've went Spencer Nas. I thought Nas was good that game. And I think we're both in agreement with the sponsored man of the match on Hogmanet.
Could only be Jarrett. Could only be. Yeah. And you know what? It was probably a bit gutting for Jake because Jake played very well.
Yeah, very two goals on his birthday as well.
Exactly. Yeah. You know what? It had to be something special for Jake not to get it. And I think Big Jarrett did it.
Yeah. So there are the league standings. Fife still bottom, 6 points through 24 games. Manchester in 9th, 17th through 23. Stars in 8th, 20 points through 27. Glasgow in 7th, 24 points through 25. Coventry with a very abysmal last two games from them. Getting pumped, was it 9-1? And then
9-2.
9-2 it finished, and then what was it, 2-3-0? I thought it was 9-1. And then 2-3-0, whatever it was last night as well, both losses to the Nottingham Panthers. Guildford in 5th, a point ahead of Coventry, 29 points to 26. Sheffield in 4th, 30 through 24. Nottingham up to 3rd, 31 points through 24 games. Belfast in second, 36 to 24. And then Cardiff still sitting at the top, 38 points to 26. Senior, 7 points out of 10 for the Stars.
Yeah, you know, look at that. You know, it's a windbreaker. Yeah, see,
yeah,
you put that up and bang, lights on, bang, sit down. Nobody would have even noticed. Yeah.
Well, yeah, but now they have, and I can obviously see it in the bottom left hand corner of my screen because you've got your camera down there as well. So I did see you move.
See, when I look at the league table, right, I've got to laugh at the Glasgow fans, right, because they were like, we're only 7 points off a third. Is what they put. Yeah, if you look at the opposite way, they're also only 7 points off of ninth.
Hey, glass exactly. Half full, glass half full.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But my only worry is we've played the missed games, I think. And that's my only worry. So when you start playing the teams around you. That's the games you've got to win.
Yeah.
Yep. Especially when the teams have got games in hand on you. But come on. What did you say? We had, 7 points out of the last 10 or something?
7 out of 10. Last 5 games, 7 out of 10.
Can't argue with it. 70%? Yeah. Yep. You would probably take it. It's tight again, eh? But everybody's got to play everybody, and we're capable of beating anybody. And I think, like, this weekend is going to be a tough weekend. Let's see what happens, eh?
Thanks for that, coach.
No bar.
It's time for the good, the bad, and the ugly.
Well, we've touched on the good. Was Jarrett against Belfast. 58 saves from 62 shots was just ridiculous. And they were trying to get in his head. I think it might be that wee Dick Bast was saying a word with him at the end of the second period, and he's just standing, leaning against the bench, yeah, smirking away at him, calling him a wanker. And then Pouliot just steps in and just shouts, "What the fuck are you going to do?" And then Bass just decided it was the right time to go. And Jarrett just stood there. So, Ken, what, when you think about it, he came in as a young guy. He come in to get experience. He's came in as a young guy. And he suddenly became a man playing in that goal. And he doesn't give a fuck. One of these days, I think there's going to be a goalie fight. And he's going to be in amongst it. Honestly, I do. Like he's itching to get in amongst it. The bad to me, and I touched on this as well, was the scheduling around the Belfast games. As much as I like the 2 o'clock face off on Hogmanay, please dinna hear 7 o'clock face off in Belfast the night before. At least try and spread it out or get them to take their face off down forward. And if they can't do it, then make it a wheel. Why not play at 5 o'clock on Hogmanay? Just go for it, you know. And the ugly is 3-1 up, 7 minutes to go. You get beaten overtime. Yeah. Probably shouldn't have happened. We probably should see the game out. But I think we all knew once the second goal went in, everything's going to be backs against the wall and hold on for the best, and it didn't happen. So that's it. That's my good, my bad, and the ugly.
Okay. Okay, move on to the Liam Mean Tattoo sponsored game preview. So we are away to the Cardiff Devils tomorrow. We seem to either play Cardiff or Glasgow around the 2nd and 3rd of January every year. Yeah. So Cardiff away tomorrow, and then Manchester at home on, what day are we on? Saturday.
Friday, Cardiff, Saturday.
Yeah.
For Manchester. So,
3 to watch for. Now, senior, I've went for a wee bit of a change on this one.
All right.
So obviously the boy McDonald, he's 19 plus 14 through 26 games played. Cole Sanford is 10 plus 17 through 25. But the other one, it's not a skater. It's Big Bad Bounds. Ben Bounds, 2.09 goals against average and a save percentage of 94.04 through 16 games in the league this season. We said that a few weeks ago when we played them at home. We can match. You can match up against the lines. You can match up against the D, but you've got to beat him.
You got to beat him, and if you and if it's not him, it'll be Mark Carruth. You know what I mean? So it's no.
He might not be playing. He might be fucking suspended.
It's not a couple of diddies I've got playing for them, eh? And it's not like a top class netminder with an inexperienced guy behind them, or it's two top goalies they've got. And yeah, I think probably Ben will play against us. I think Carruth will be the one that'll miss out. Ben's a bit like Jackson Whistle when Giants play us. And probably Jackson, that was probably Jackson Whistle's worst game in Dundee for a long time.
Yeah.
They tend to absolutely stand on their head. It's again, but travel is going to come into it, but I do believe, like, this is Thursday afternoon now, so I do believe that the club have travelled down today. So they're ready tomorrow. They're not having to travel on Friday for tomorrow's game. So hopefully that.
What are you telling Abdi
for? Abdi fucking Kens.
Yeah, I mean, what does Abdi Ken? What are you telling them for?
Listen, there's nobody for Cardiff listens to us spout bish.
No, Pete Russell does. Pete told me the last time he was up that he listens to the podcast every week. with his nurses trainers on.
His sterile unit trainers on. But they're another sort of Belfast type of team. They end up just getting through games and winning more than what they lose. I think they lost. Did they lose last night to Guildford? Did they lose 5-3 or something?
Yeah.
So hopefully that's maybe dented their confidence a wee bit. But we need to play well. We just kind of go in there and put in a performance, maybe like a Fife performance away from home, and hope to get something. We've got to go in there and absolutely nail the performance and leave everything out there and hope that we'll come away with something.
Yeah. Score prediction?
I've never really seen us doing well doing in Cardiff. I'm going to go 5-2 Cardiff.
I went 5-1. Then we're back up the road on Friday night for a game on Saturday at home to the Manchester Storm. And we might even see our good old pal Ryan Finnerty again.
Oh, I forgot.
Yeah, I forgot. I'm really hoping it is. I'm really hoping he is on that bench.
Yeah. I think he will be.
Yeah, and we'll make sure Stoney gets a sitting, because Stoney's missed him.
Listen, I'll tell you, once things guaranteed, we are Ryan Finnerty team, they're going to be a bunch of dicks. Guaranteed. They've been mixing it. Every game they've played recently, they've been beginning to mix it again. And that was Finnerty's style of play when he played, and he coached it that way. Wherever he coached, whether it was Manchester, whether it was in Glasgow, that was the way he wanted these teams to play. And we always say that. I would have liked Ryan Finnerty to be a coach with Dundee Stars because he would take no shit. Yep. And if things weren't going right, he'd you know what? See, if Finnerty was your coach, he'd allow Pooley up to smash boys out of the place.
Yeah. But it's the boy, it's what's his face that's actually coaching them? Moran.
Mike Moran.
Mike, that's it. It's actually him that's obviously coaching.
I think Ryan's been on the bench.
Assistant. Yeah, he's been assistant coach to help him get his stuff across until they find a replacement. But it's been a couple of months now. So.
They might
either nobody wants it, or they might just go ahead with that and wait till next season.
Well, the thing is, what Moran's been there a while, eh?
And played there for years.
Exactly, he's got a lot of experience, eh? One thing, it could save them money. do they really need to go out and get another coach, or just do it this season? You know what? It brings me on to something that probably Jeff said, that even for a club like Manchester, and Jeff done it with players, if they're sitting in ninth place at the moment, right? If you go and spend money on another coach, where is he going to get them in the league? Is he going to get them to eighth or seventh? Then if that's the case, then why would the club change it? Just leave Maranta do that. But if they're suddenly going to say, oh, we bring in this new coach, we're going to get up to second and third, then by all means, go and get a new coach. But it's not going to happen. Difficult game. I'll let you name your three guys.
Yeah, so the guy...
I would think there'll be one of them I would agree with.
Hebert. 13 plus 15 through 23 games. Is it Doust? Doust and the Doust dirt is gone.
Yeah.
11 plus 17 through 23. And then my old pal seems to score against him quite a lot. Durflinger, 9 plus 11 to 20 games. They've got about, I think, their top three are over or are a point a game. And then their next two or three players under that are just under a point a game as well.
Yeah. The guy, Hebert or Hebert, how he pronounces it, puts Ebert up a lot of points. But the one for me is, do you hear that?
Bonnet.
Honest to God. Through twa doors. you could probably put Cam Critchlow in amongst that.
Yeah.
And the goalie.
Wellinger's stats aren't that great this year, though. He's over four goals a game in less than 90%
save percentage.
Good. Oh, yeah, but
he's still good. And you get what happens against Manchester Junior. Defensively, we have to be switched on.
Yeah.
Or it'll come up with somebody's name with the two letters S-A-H after them. Short-handed.
Yeah.
But I'm expecting a win.
What's your score prediction?
6-3 Stars.
So mine will all make sense when I tell you that I'm going to go 3-2 Stars in a shootout.
Okay.
That'll all make sense. So that is our game preview. Last segment for the first show of 2025 is the Slimmer World with Stella sponsored on this day. Senior, two players left us on this day. In 2015, after just 6 games played with the Stars, Timo Kulavainen left to go to Grasstorps in the hockey town in Sweden. Do you remember him, Kulavainen? Signing for Telford.
Yes.
Yeah. And in 2018, after just 16 games playing for the Stars, Justin Fox left and went to the Huntsville Havoc in the SPHL.
He was
nearly a point a game player for us.
Yeah. But I think
we never got we never got we never got the fife Justin Fox.
Yes.
Bear in mind that was a poor team that he was playing in as well. Tyler Brickgore and that were in that team.
I know what you're saying. He was a point again, but I just didn't think he hit it off here. It might have been because he was at Fife. I don't know. But
yeah. So on this day, 2016, we had an away league win at the Cardiff Devils by 3-2 in a shootout. Thanks again to the Elite League for having no goal scorers available or any team lists up. In 2018 on this day, we had a home league win versus the Glasgow Clan by 3-2 in a shootout. Goals by Levesque and Jensen and Riley Stadel were the shootout winner. In 2019, we had a home league loss against the Glasgow Clan by 4-1. Brian Hart with the only goal for the Stars. In 2020, we had a home league loss versus the Belfast Giants by 3-2. Matt Carter with both of those goals. And finally, on this day, in 2023, we had a home league loss versus the Glasgow Clan. Again, by 4-1. Carter Folk with the only goal in that game. And that is on this day.
Now we can see how the 3-2 comes in.
The 3-2 comes into that. There was another one as well, which was on the 3rd of January, and it was a 3-2 shootout as well, for fuck's sake. And another 4-1, funnily enough. But actually, I do have a call-out that I've just reminded myself of. We were sitting at the game on Hogmanay, and Belfast scored to make it 3-2. And someone says, "Junior, I've just been told by such and such that in the last Hogmanay game, we beat Belfast 3-2. A minute fucking later, it's 3-3. Nearly what 7 minutes later, it's fucking 4-3 Belfast in overtime." Lara?
I said that.
Lara?
Yeah.
In the words of Mike Donnelly, oot.
Oot.
You're oot. Actually, you know what?
Yeah.
It's been a while. Lara?
You just made the list!
Good
job. You're on the list.
She's on the list.
I'm not fucking having it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, she couldn't just keep her mouth shut. It's like seeing a fucking shot out. Keep it shut.
I know.
Honestly.
It's a way it goes.
Yeah. Well, that is our show. Our first show of 2025. Senior, any final Jerry Springer final thoughts?
No, none whatsoever. Just I'm hoping for the best. Hoping for the best. As a minimum, beat Manchester. That's
yeah,
it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And then the week after, we've got Fife again. So it goes a long way to beat Manchester, then hopefully beating Fife and Fife. So.
Yeah.
But anyway, listen, those of you who went back to work today or going back tomorrow, enjoy. Those of you who aren't starting back to next week, you're lucky fuckers. enjoy when you do go back. And we will see you all at the rink on Saturday against the light drizzle that is the Manchester Storm. Don't you know, pump it up, you got to pump it up.